If you've got your Bible, open it with me to the book of Judges. The book of Judges in chapter number 15. Book of Judges in chapter number 15. Appreciate the good singing. Thank the Lord for his help. And I woke up this morning still blessed. Amen. I got good news for you. When I wake up tomorrow morning, I'm going to still be blessed. And I'm going to wake up in a heavenly morning. I'm really going to be blessed. Amen. So I'm going to enjoy being blessed here, so I won't be out of place when I get blessed there. Say amen. And I thank the Lord. Some of us young men ought to be under conviction watching that senior gentleman take him a lap. We ought to take us a lap, praise God. Amen. You say, that'd embarrass me. Let me just say this to you. You've never embarrassed your flesh in church. You've probably never worshiped God. You never embarrassed your flesh for Jesus' sake. You probably ain't never really just gotten the Holy Ghost to worship the Lord. Amen. Amen. You say, what are people going to say? I'd be more worried about what Jesus is going to say. Amen. 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 I know, listen, you ain't got to cry and you ain't got to shout, but praise God, there ought to be some kind of reaction in our hearts. Amen. I mean, I think, men of folks, when David came in the presence of God in Jerusalem and he danced, I don't believe God was wondering why David was dancing. I wonder why he thinks we're sitting still. Maybe we ought to go out there and look on the outside of that tabernacle. It said camp meeting, praise God. Amen. I mean, camp meetings marked, the history of camp meetings are marked by an audible praise. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, that I was around that kind. Amen. I told Brother Jeff I was going to go sit by the sister shout and let some of that get on me, praise God. I like it. I mean, amen. I told her, I said, help yourself. It ain't helping nobody. It's helping me. Amen. Amen. I'm glad I'm not ashamed of what we are. I'm not looking to be something else. But if I thought there was something more close to the Bible than what we are, I'd quit what we are and I'd join them tomorrow. Amen. Yeah, I'm not ashamed of what team I'm on. Amen. You say, well, I'm just ashamed of that. Well, maybe you ought to change uniforms. Amen. 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 I'm glad, praise God, I'm on this team. Amen. I thank the Lord for it. Judges chapter number 15, Brother Nick, what a wonderful job the choir did. And you're about to figure out, like I am, that we don't belong on things that we used to belong on as young men. I don't care what your children are doing. There's sometimes we just sit back and watch and sing a verse of precious memories, how they linger. Amen. Amen. I mean, there's some things we just tell them, God, y'all have a good time and tell me how fun it is. Amen. We were on a trip and back a couple summers ago and my boys were up on the top of that boat and they were trying to learn how to surf and they was on one of them surfing machines and they said, Daddy, you can do this. And I knew I should have been in trouble when they handed me the same size surfboard that they handed my 12-year-old that doesn't weigh but 70 pounds. I weighed 70 pounds when I was 6 years old. Say amen. And I got on that board and I did like she told me to. And I made like two of the little instructors was trying to teach us how to do it. And about that time, that board went one way. Both of my legs went the opposite direction. And I heard something go pop like it was a gun going off. And it was my hamstring. And it washed me up to the top of that little thing. And she come running up there, and I'm prideful man that I am. She said, Are you okay? I said, just let me get up. And I got up, and I walked down there, and I slipped my shoes back on. I said, Mama, it's time to go. She said, what about the boys? I said, leave them here, praise God. Amen. And I learned when my back of my leg looked like a paisley tie for about 6 weeks, had all colors of the rainbow in it, I figured that I'd learned my lesson, amen? But I appreciate Brother Nick, known him for a long time, and I thank the Lord for the touch that was on the choir tonight. And let's pray for this preacher's, their pastor's son. And I'm sure that's a burden of his heart. And let's pray that God will touch him. Judges chapter number 15, everybody okay? Amen. Judges chapter number 15, when you find your place, let's stand together. We'll begin reading in verse number 14. Judges chapter number 15, verse number 14. The Bible said, when he came unto Lehi, we're finding ourselves in the middle of Samson's life. when he came unto Lehi and the Philistines shouted against it. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire. Something that I've been studying the last couple of days. Every time Samson was bound, it was a result of him putting himself in bondage. Can I tell you something? Most of the bondage of in our life is a result of our own fault. Amen. He was bound by his own flesh. He was bound by his friends. And then he was bound by his foe. Amen. The flesh controlled him. Amen. His friends compelled him. Then his foes conquered him. Amen. Let me tell you something, a lot of the bondage. Let me just say a word to you. I'm not charismatic at all. I'm a King James Bible preacher. Can I tell you something? Listen to me. This is not a charismatic or some Pentecostal truth, but the devil has no authority in our life. Can I tell you why you don't whoop my youngins and I don't whoop yours? It's because I don't have that authority in their life. Can I tell you, child of God, if the devil's got authority in your life, it's because you gave it to him. Amen, friend. When I got saved, I'm no longer a child of the devil. I'm a child of the King. And the devil has no authority in my life that I don't give him. Amen. And I tell you, Samson gave the enemy and gave his flesh and gave the devil an opportunity to bind him. But thank God the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loose from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass. Let me show you about the grace of God. He shouldn't even had that bone in his hand. Samson should have never picked up that jawbone because it was from a dead donkey. But God's grace, in spite of his weakness, aren't you glad that God's good to us in spite of us? Amen. He said he found a new jawbone of an ass and put forth his hands and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with a jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with a jawbone of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. It came to pass when he had made an end of speaking that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called the place Ramath Lehi. And he was sore athirst and called on the Lord and said, thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. Verse 19, but God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout, and when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived, wherefore he called the name thereof in Hakor, which is in Lehi unto this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. You can be seated. I want to turn your attention back to verse number 18 with the help of the Lord, that I'll take my text tonight. The Bible said he was sore athirst and called on the Lord and said, thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. We find ourselves right almost in the middle of the story of one of the heroes of the Word of God. But may I say to you, as men of God, I'll take a text in Samson's life. On most occasions, they're not preaching to folks about how we ought to live our life. But most times when a preacher is preaching about Samson, he's preaching about the pitfalls that Samson found himself in and how we ought to avoid those same pitfalls. Honey, the Bible said the glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of the old men is the gray head. Don't you know the wise man of the Word of God must have had Samson in his mind when he penned those words, the glory of young men are their strength. Samson was the Hebrew Hercules. I don't believe he was a man of great stature. I don't believe he was a man of great muscular fortitude. Because you say, why, preacher? Because Samson's strength was not found in his muscles. It was not found in his stature.
stature. But when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, he was able to perform the miraculous strength that God had given him. And neighbor, I don't believe he had that kind of height, that kind of stature, because the Lord would not have got the glory from his life. That is said, he's just a strong man. Look at his muscles, look at his height, look at his build. But I believe when the Spirit of God got on just a regular sized man and he began to do such things as carry the gates off the city, I believe Israel stood in awe at the power of an almighty God. I'm glad God still got the ability. Honey, I know according to the Gospel of John that the Holy Ghost is in me, and thank God he's with me. But you better believe every time I preach, every time I go to church, I ask God for him to get on me. I'm glad he's in me. I'm glad he's with me. But I promise you, I desire the manifested touch of the Holy Ghost unction and power. And I'm glad in 2015, I don't care what Bible college professor don't like it, a little Raven Hill said, with all thy getting, get unction. There's not a preacher in here that can explain where unction comes from, where unction goes. But may I say to you, if you've ever had it, honey, you know when you don't have it. Amen. We got to have unction to function in the things of God. And Brother Samson, when God got on him, he could do things he normally couldn't do. I thought about, as I was reading and studying some years ago about Samson, the writer made the statement, he said, you can see some great pictures of Christ in Samson. And y'all prayed for me, but I thought the man was a fool. And I shut the book. Brother Tripp, I thought, man, this man's lost his mind. Here's one of the most fleshly men in the Bible, and he's going to tell me I can see some portraits of Christ in him. I'm glad I opened the book. Amen. I got to reading about that, and he said, well, you can see Christ in Samson's life in this fact, that Samson gave his love to an unworthy Philistine. Amen. That law said that he shouldn't love her. She was outside of the people of God. She was an alien from the commonwealth of Israel. But for some reason, Samson chose her to love and set his love on her. I got to thinking about that. Man, I took a spell in my study. I got to thinking about, I should have gone to hell. I was under the condemnation of a thrice holy God. But for some reason, he set his love upon you and I. And I can rejoice today that I'm not going to hell because Jesus shed his love, brought in my heart by the blessed Holy Ghost. Honey, I didn't deserve it. Some of us have been saved so long. You've been a Christian for so long, you've about got to the place where you think you deserve God's love. I don't care what he's done for you, how much he's cleaned you up, how much of a haircut you got, or how long your dress is, or listen, how long it's been since you've used a foul language. Let me tell you something. You deserve to be in the same hell that the most wicked man or the most wicked woman has ever lived will deserve to be in. But thank God, for God so loved the world. Honey, for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Why? So I won't have to go to hell. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Grant was telling me last night, he was sitting somewhere with I had two pastors in my life, Brother Edgar and Brother Willard. And he said, he asked Brother Willard, or asked Brother Edgar, he said, what's the greatest truth that you've ever uncovered in the Word of God? And old Brother Edgar had been preaching, he'd been preaching somewhere 50, 60 years when he died. Brother Tripp, he looked at him and said, the greatest truth I've ever uncovered in the Word of God is Jesus loves me. This I know. And Brother Grant said, Ain't that the truth? Praise God. Some Brother Grant said some man about four seats down piped up and said, you think after all this time that's the best you can do? And Brother Edgar said, will you explain it to me? You come up with a better than that. Honey, I don't know how a holy God who didn't know sin was willing to be made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I don't know why God would leave glory in perfect fellowship with God the Father and come and take upon the form of a servant and be obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, and pay for mine and your sin. Honey, I don't know. I can't explain. But I sure am glad to know that Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. So y'all just pray for me. We send our boys, preacher boys, got a little fire, and we send them to places, and those Dr. Doolittles that's got a PhD that ain't got a J-O-B, say amen. They try to talk them out of all their fire. Well, you just need to get over that being saved. Let me ask them, how do you get over something that changes your life forever? How do you get over an event that changed your eternity? How do you get over an event that lets you pass from death unto life? How do you get over an event that took away my shame and took away my guilt and took away my sin and gave me everything?
Hallelujah.
That's what's wrong. We've got a lot of us got over it. Amen. Do you know I never have one time ever heard somebody stand up and take this in their hand and say, you know, preacher, I just want to thank God for my chemistry book. I never have heard anybody stand up in the middle of a service and say, I want to praise God for my chemistry book. Because once I learned what all alcohol, what it was composed of, chemically speaking, once I learned what the composition of alcohol was, I was convinced that I didn't need to put it in my body anymore. I never have heard anybody stand up in church and say, I want to praise God for my biology book. Because once I figured out everything about the anatomy of the body, I was convinced that I needed to quit shacking up and fornicating and being an adulterer and be faithful to my wife. Never had heard a man stand up and say that. Nope. Amen. I never have heard anybody stand up with a grammar book and say, praise God for my English book. Because once I learned all the rules of grammar and diagram and sentences, I felt so under conviction that I quit cursing and I quit spewing all that vile things out of my mouth. I've never heard anybody say that. But I can't tell you how many times I've heard somebody stand up and take a Bible and say, I used to be a drunk. I used to be a dopehead. I used to be a whoremonger and an adulterer. I used to have vile language. But thank God for the day I met Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I've never been the same since. You may not can explain everything that happened to you, but you can say like the blind man, I once was blind, but now I see. Oh, thank God, I'm glad he loved me. Hallelujah. I'm about to break a rule of homiletics and enjoy my own preaching. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I can't wait till I've been saved as long as you have. When I've been walking with him that long, I've got further to look back and all the deliverances and all the blessings and all the good things that God has done in my life. If it's good this half, if it's been this good this far, what's it going to be when I get to where you are? When there's been 30 or 40 or 50 more years of the goodness and the blessings of an almighty God. So I'm just, help yourself, sis. So I'm just going to keep enjoying the fact that Jesus loves me. Hey, you know what? We start singing at that early age. P.P. Bliss said, started singing that, oh, how I love Jesus.
But said when he got to the end of his life, he wrote this song. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. It ain't much about my love for him as it was his love for me. Amen. What's that new song they sing? I'm amazed that he loved me. I'm amazed that he cares. Through his precious blood, I found pardon. And that's all I can remember. But my sins are washed. They're all washed away. Oh, my sin. I'm helping. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 What about help yourself? Amen.
It don't mean you wasn't guilty. It means you was guilty.
And we got off.
God, we got off.
Amen. Amen. Help yourself.
Hallelujah. Thank God for the
Amen. Amen. That don't bother me a bit. Amen. Let's me catch my breath. Praise God. What about that old chorus some of you old timers used to sing? He loves me. He loves me, Jesus loves me, he loves me, he loves me. How can you have a bad day when you're thinking about that Jesus loves me? Amen. Praise God. If he left heaven, laid his glory down, put his flesh on, and died at Calvary, went to hell, led captivity captive, and came out of the grave victorious over death and hell. Honey, he is the victory. Amen. Hallelujah. Loved and earned word. Let me just tell you something. You may be here lost tonight. I got good news for you. You can't find the time. You can take your little back and turn it to Genesis 1:1 and look back in eternity past, and you'll never find a time he didn't love you. Hey, Calvary wasn't an uh-oh. It wasn't plan B. And listen, you may sing it, and God help you. I mean, I'm not picking on the song, but I am a little bit. He didn't search through heaven to find one willing to be. Oh, no, no, no. It was predetermined in the foreknowledge of God that, honey, he would be a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Honey, listen to me. There was blood shed long before Calvary was because in the mind of God, before he ever said, let there be light, it is mine. The blood had already been shed for mine and your sin. Amen. 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 I ain't going to get real far tonight, am I? I mean, this is just supposed to be the introduction. I've been accused of laying a real big foundation and putting a shack on it, praise God. Let me just preach two or three of these points. Amen. I'm going to tell you, praise God, when you pastor, you try to stretch your messages out as far as you can, praise God. Amen. Portrait of Christ and the fact that he loved an unworthy Philistine. Second portrait of Christ, Dad, on his way to get a bride. On his way down there to get a bride, he ran into a lion. On his way to get a bride. On his way down to get a bride, amen, he bumped into a lion. And what did he do to him? He slew him. Amen. I want to say a word. I may exhort it on a little bit some Monday night. The Bible said, be sober, be vigilant for your adversary. It didn't say your adversary, the roaring lion. Amen. I'm glad I did pay attention in English. It said your adversary, as a roaring lion. He's seeking to devour. As, didn't say he was. He was as a roaring lion. At best, he's a bad imitation. Amen. He bumped into a lion that was going to take his life. And what did he do? He slew him and left him there to die. Left him there to rot. You say, what, how in the world is that a picture of the Son of God? Let me just say a word to you. When he was coming to buy him a bride, when he was coming to find a bride, he left where he was and was going to where she was. And he bumped into a lion, praise God. And honey, that lion had been trying to stamp out on the blood of Jesus since Genesis 3. He had tried to kill the babies. He had tried to shut the wombs up of the women who he was going to come through. He had been trying to stomp him out long before he got here. But thank God I serve a risen Savior who's in the world today. The lion didn't defeat him. The devils didn't defeat him. The world didn't defeat him. Hell couldn't keep him. Death couldn't hold him. Praise God, when he came, he left out of here and he had paid for the bride. Amen. Another picture in Samson. His own brethren bound him and delivered him to the power, the foreign power of the day, who was the Philistines, for him to be killed. The gospel said that they bound him and they led him away and they took him and turned him over to Pontius Pilate. So, here they are again. They've bound him just like they bound Samson. Took him to the power of the day and said, crucify him. Amen. But it didn't make him nervous. He looked at them Pharisees and them Sadducees. You know, them Sadducees didn't believe in that resurrection. I'd be sad, you see, if I didn't believe in a resurrection, praise God. Amen. 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 He looked at them Pharisees and said, this is your hour and the power of darkness. In other words, he said, do all you can while you can, because this is your hour. Mine hour's coming. Amen. Can I say we can look at the Sodomites, and that's not throwing names, that's a Bible word. Amen. Amen. We can look at the liberals. We can look at the liquor retailers. We can look at the Budweisers and the Miller High Life and all that mess. We can look at the dope dealers and say, this is your hour and the power of darkness. But honey, there is another hour coming. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hey, we don't have to walk around with our heads held low and serve God in defeat. Honey, the victory's already been won. You say, where was it won? It was won at Calvary. When he lifted up his head, said it is finished, and gave up the ghost, he walked into hell. Praise God, signed in. He signed in blood, said, I'll be checking out 3 days. And in 3 days, he walked out of hell, led captivity captive, and showed us, praise God, what's going to happen to us one day. Thank God, Samson shows us what it's about. I'll give you one more and I'm done. I'm going to get to, you come back tomorrow night and I'll give you the rest of the story. Page 2 is tomorrow night. Lord, I ain't even got out of paragraph 1. Matter of fact, this ain't even in the notes. Put his love on an undeserving Philistine. Defeated a lion on the way to get a bride. They bound him and led him away like they did Jesus. But he come walking back through that vineyard, and there that dead carcass of that lion was. And what did he do? He reached in to that dead carcass. Now, I'm not picking at you. I'm just going to use, I can see the marks of an old dead carcass. And I'm not picking. You know that. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing in the world. But there's marks of that old dead carcass. How many years ago did you get saved?
May the 3rd.
Praise God. Man, I didn't know I was talking to a baby in Christ. It ain't even wore off good yet. Amen. Hallelujah. Can I tell you what? May the 3rd. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Can I tell you what happened on May the 3rd? Well, you ask, he's plenty to talk about. He said, that's all I talk about. Honey, it's all that's worth talking about. Hey, there's been more books written about him, more songs written about him, more sermons preached about him. Why? He's the greatest subject that's ever come off a man's lips. Can I tell you what he did to you on May the 3rd? He did the same thing that Samson did. He reached into that old dead carcass and he pulled out something sweet out of that dead carcass. That honey was in that carcass and he reached down in there and he started pulling that sweet things out of that dead carcass. Honey, I'm telling you what, there's a lot of the old dead carcasses sitting around here. When God came to you, you were filthy. You were dead. You smelled. You were corrupted. But honey, God reached into your corruption. God reached into your shame. God reached into your guilt and began to pull some sweetness out. And thank God Almighty, till we go to heaven, he's still going to reach in time and time and time again. Because praise God, the good work that he started, he will perform it against that day. Thank God he's got ability to take it out and bring that the sweet thing out of a dead thing. The book of Ruth is probably my favorite book of the Bible. You say, I wasn't dead, preacher. Well, if you wasn't dead, you didn't get saved. If you weren't dead, tear Ephesians 2:1 out of your Bible. And you who are dead in trespasses and sin. That's pretty plain. Amen. You know why I like Ruth? Ruth starts with a grave and it ends with a birth. Starts in the far country, ends up in the family. Chapter 1's wooing days. Chapter 2's working days. Chapter 3, waiting days. Chapter 4, wedding days. Amen. Chapter 1, faith that saves. Chapter 2, faith that serves. Chapter 3, faith that surrenders. Chapter 4, faith that satisfied. She's asking permission in chapter 2 to glean in the field. She owns the field in chapter 4. Man, I'm having a good time preaching. You know why I like Ruth, preacher? Because it's got a happy ending. Can I tell you something? When it comes to the grace of God, there still are some happy endings. One little boy went to pick out a dog and his little puppies was running around. And the daddy, he picked out that and he said, I want that. And he said, you sure? He said, I want that. Daddy said, why? His dad said, why you want that? He said, look at its tail, daddy. It's wagging. He said, I want the one that's got the happy ending. I'll be honest with you, I wish some of ours had a happy ending, praise God. I promise you this, God didn't save you to wear out the back seat of your dress or your britches on a pew or a chair, praise God. Every once in a while, they ought to be some light between there, and you ought to get up and lift your hands and give God some glory. Amen. I give you this and I'm done. I'll pick up the rest of the story tomorrow night. Let me just say a word to you young preachers. Have enough sense when to quit. Sometimes, can I tell you something? Sometimes God, all he wants me to do in a morning service is maybe exhort the central theme of my message. And it may be in the middle of the choir singing. Amen. But I'd rather have God on me for 15 minutes exhorting the message than to wait 30 minutes and get it in the preaching hour and God be grieved and not even help me. I mean, listen, I'm not against outlines. I got a bunch of them. And I just tell you this, an outline without points, a sermon without points is often pointless. Amen. 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 But God help me in outlines. I'm not bound to that. It's a guide. There's another guide inside of me that says right here, park right here. Amen. On a Sunday night at Rossville, Georgia, at Bible Baptist Church, a little couple was sitting on the back pew of Brother Ricky Gravely's church, where Brother Berman Capes Sr. used to pastor. He said, Brother Ricky preached that night, and man, some folks got saved, and that young couple didn't come, and Brother Ricky got to talking to them after church, and they both admitted they were lost, and both admitted they need to be saved. He witnessed to them, shared the Word of God with them, but they wouldn't get saved. He came to North Carolina on Monday to preach. He had one of his young preachers in the church preaching for him on Wednesday night. And said they had an altar prayer. They all came down for an altar prayer. And here come that young lady. She came back, and her husband came back. But the husband didn't come to altar prayer, just a little just young lady. They got done praying, and they got to fellowshipping around on the way back to seat. And that little lady looked at them, some of them ladies, and she said, you know what happened to me last night? She said, I did what that preacher told me Sunday night. I tried to go to bed Tuesday night. I went to bed Monday night, but I couldn't go to sleep Tuesday night, so I crawled out of my bed, got down on my knees in my bedroom floor, and she said, I did what that preacher said, and I got saved. And they started to shout and praise God, and about that time, she wheeled around and pointed at her husband and said, but he didn't get saved. Can we pray for him? And here the church came back. They got in the altar. They prayed for him. A young preacher got up there and preached. And you ain't going to hear. They opened the invitation. And guess who came? Here come that boy. They called Brother Gravely. He was excited. They came back on Saturday morning for soul winning visitation. I said they came back on Saturday morning for soul winning visitation. Amen. Hey, listen to me. That's not Arminianism. That's King James Bible Christianity. Amen. Soul winning's not a bad word. Amen. And buses and soul winning. I said, and buses and soul winning. Amen. He that winneth souls is wise. Amen. Everybody okay? We ought not to say a word about our churches if they're dying and ain't got nobody in them if we're not willing to go out there and try to bring a sinner into the house of God. I think Paul said he went house to house. Amen. And it said in Acts 2, such as, and they were added to the church daily, such as should be saved. I said they went on soul winning. Guess who showed up at soul winning? Here comes that little couple. He comes with his shirt rolled up, tattoos down both sides of his arms, big old holes where his earrings used to be. Brother Ricky said, you go with me. And he sent the little lady, with his wife week after week after week. About third week, they knocked on the door. Brother Gravely shared with that man, that family, the plan of salvation, asked if they'd ever been saved. He turned around, and there stood that old whole hard man, tattoos, earring holes. By now, he's got him a long sleeve button up shirt on, looking like a Christian. Say, amen. Tears dripping off his face. He said, preacher, he said, you think the next house we go to that I could knock on the door and I could tell them people what Jesus did for me? He said, you think it'd be all right if I just knocked on the door and told them what Jesus did for me? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hey, that'll work, friends. You may not be able to answer all the questions, but something they can't take away from you is what you used to be, what God did for you, and what He's made out of you. About 3 weeks later on a Sunday night, Brother Gravely preached and about six people got saved. They was all fellowshipping in the front. He got ready to dismiss and that little lady that got saved, 21, 22-year-old girl, stood up. And she said, preacher, could I say a word? He said, yes, ma'am, go right ahead. She said, preacher, the reason that I didn't get saved that first Sunday night, I got under conviction. She said, I knew I had a problem in my life that I couldn't get rid of in just a natural way. And I didn't want to make a profession and then not be real. I wanted to make sure what I did was real because I knew I was going to have something more than me to get past it. And she said, Preacher, what y'all don't know is from the time I was 13 years old till 6 weeks ago on a Tuesday night, not a day in my life has gone by that I've not taken a joint of marijuana and smoked it every day of my life. She said, but I want to testify. She said, I hadn't smoked any marijuana. I hadn't been around it for 6 weeks. I'm sober. I'm clean. She said, you know what happened? I got saved. I got saved. I got saved. I got saved. Somebody explained to me how the God of heaven could love somebody with marijuana in their system. Listen, inebriated under the control of a foreign substance. Hey, maybe he could live somebody, love somebody, had a good haircut, had a clean mouth, dressed right, did right, and loved him. Honey, but he didn't come to love his friends. He came to save his enemies. Amen. I'm talking about a happy ending. A happy ending. Why do you say that? Because with Christ, there still can be a happy ending. I like them Westerns. Because all them old Westerns, the man that's got the white hat is the one that's living at the end of the show. The dude in the black hat's dead, and the guy in the white hat has got the pretty girl. Amen. Amen. I'm not leaving with a man with a white hat. I'm coming back with a man on a white horse. Say amen right there. Amen. Ain't going to be the Lone Ranger, praise God. He's going to have some with him. Amen. Amen. I'm going to come back tomorrow night and I'll preach on that verse. I'm going to tell you something. There still are some happy endings. Why? Because we had a God who loved us when we were unlovable. We had a God that defeated the life. If the devil's got victory in your life, it's because you've given it to him. We used to sing that chorus, Brother Graham. I'll march into the enemy's camp and take back what he stole from me. Take back what he stole from me. And I bet if I was in a black church, take back what he stole from me. With a little electric organ. I told Miss Amy if she ever wanted to collect on my insurance, let me go preach in a good black church. I'd have a heart attack and die, praise God. How long has it been since you went back to the enemy's camp and took back what he stole from you in the authority of the Son of God? But thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, mom and dad, your kids may be in the world, but you raised them right. They've not got away from that. It's still in them. And there still can be a happy ending. There's probably somebody here lost tonight. And if you ain't never been saved, he came for you. He came for you. He'll deliver you from whatever's got you bound. Hey, child of God, if you're bound, he'll deliver you from that. He'll deliver you from your... He said he'll set you free. It'll be free indeed. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that there still are some happy endings? I'm going to come back tomorrow night. The Lord will help me. I'm going to preach out that verse on, Lord, give me a drink. Some of us in here tonight, you're weary, thirsty. You may be coming off a great victory, but you're spent. Some of the greatest ball games I ever played, I couldn't even hardly enjoy them because I was so wore out when I got done. It took me till the next day to read the article in the paper. Amen. And you may be weary. I got good news. There's water, even when you can't see it. He ain't never got nervous when they wasn't a good place to have it. He can make water where there is no water. He'll make a way when there is no way. Come on, my brother, back to the piano. the song. We're going to have a verse of invitation. I don't know what you need. I've covered a lot of different things. You can be free from your bondage. You can get a drink for your thirsty soul. He can save you. He can edify you. He can encourage you. Praise God, you might just want to thank God that He loved an old dirty, low-down, rotten sinner like you and me. Amen. I think some of us have forgot where He found us. Amen. And we've taken for granted where He brought us from, where He's put our feet. Thank God it'd be hard to get way depressed thinking about where you could be, where you should be. Amen. The things of God. Aren't you glad He defeated the lion? Aren't you glad they did bind Him and turn Him over to be killed? Aren't you glad that He's been taking something sweet out of your dead life for all these years? We're standing. Our sisters are playing. Our brother's coming with a song.